Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the Locked On NHL Podcast, your Tuesday edition. Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano, myself from Locked On Sabres, Mike from Locked On Leafs, covering the East and the North divisions in the NHL for this season. Mike, you brought it up to me before the show, and I'm looking at it right now. It's crazy that our two teams have the top four goal scorers in the NHL via points. Not including Tomas Hertl, too.
Yeah, I was just taking a look at the stats. I was like, is there anyone that's popping off that's, you know, kind of surprising early in the year? And when I was taking a look, I was like, oh, look at that. There are five players right now that are at the top of the standings in the stat sheets. And at 6 points, that's John Tavares, Mitch Marner, mm-hmm. Jack Eichel, Taylor Hall, and then Tomas Hertl. So four of the top five point getters so far between our two clubs. So I've been enjoying a nice offensive onslaught. Majority of your offensive units came from last night's game against Philly.
Oh yeah,
talk about how happy you were to see the Sabres finally wake up this year.
I mean, they had to win wearing those white, sharp white road jerseys. I mean, they're just so clean, so good. I think every Sabre fan just seeing those jerseys on those players had more confidence that they would win, even though it's completely illogical. But then they came out and they put six on what I thought going into the season was one of the best teams in the East Division. They probably still are. I mean, it's only one bad game from Philadelphia. But yeah, 6-1. And you've got Hall and Eichel atop the list with Marner and Tavares. It's weird, too, though, that those two players, Eichel and Hall, they only have one goal between the two of them, and they've got 11 assists. So
Sammy Reinhart was on the line with them last night and looked pretty good. I was surprised that Reinhart didn't get more of a run with that line. Like, you would think that this is a team that kind of would feel like they should load up that top line if they have the horses to do it.
Yes, and that actually, so that was not something I was a fan of going into the year, because the Sabres are not, the Sabres are not very good in depth. When you get down to that third, fourth line, they really are getting thin in terms of offensive talent. And on the second line, Eric Staal is still okay at this point in his career. I mean, he's 36. You can only ask for so much. And then Victor Olofsson is maybe got the best shot on the team. If he doesn't, Eichel does, but he's definitely second. But he doesn't really do much else. So he kind of is reliant, like Jeff Skinner is in a way, who's also on the team, and he's reliant on others to create for him. And Reinhart is a creator, and that's why I thought, you know, it'd be a good idea to split those three up. But like you said, I mean, those three together, they were just unbelievable every time they touched the ice. They were controlling play. They wouldn't let Philly out of their own end every time they were on the ice. And I mean, if you're Buffalo, you don't have many paths to be a good team this year. And I'm starting to think one of their only paths might be just throw out a dominant line and just hope that you could keep up with the rest of the lineup.
Oh, if they can go out there and score six every night, you'll be feeling pretty good.
How about the Leafs? There was that loss to Ottawa. Me and Tom Gazzola were talking about on our Friday episode a little bit, but otherwise I think they've looked pretty good. A lot of high event hockey, a lot of goals and a lot of goals against, it seems like, so far.
Yeah, and last night was their best game of the season. Got a nice 3-1 win over Winnipeg, but the score isn't really indicative as to how badly the Leafs really put a beat down on Winnipeg. They dominated for the first two periods of that game, and Connor Hellebuyck is the only reason why that was kept such a tight score throughout the entire game, or else that easily could have been a 5-1, 6-1 hockey game. The Maple Leafs are just so good, and when they look like the way that they did last night, it truly gives you belief that this team probably will be the favorite to come out of the North Division. You know, after the first couple of games, there were some rumblings, you know, like, this Leafs team, you know, same old Leafs out there, inconsistent. You brought in these new guys to try and help mature this team, but they're still coming out not playing the way that they're supposed to, still soft, yada yada yada. But you know what? Ever since the first two games were not so great, the last two have been fantastic. So I think it was just more so everyone was getting used to everybody, getting their feet wet, getting their legs under them, and away we go. You know, I think the fact that there was no preseason, and this goes for all teams, the first week or so was going to be a little different, a little bit of a slog. There was going to be some miscommunications from teams that had a lot of turnover. There was going to be some mistakes that were made. And now I think that now that we're a week into things, people or these teams and these players are a little more into it, you know, like they've had a few games to get going. And now I think we'll be able to kind of get a good barometer of what these teams will actually look like for the whole season.
Yeah, there's other things we'll get to on today's episode. By the way, Pierre LeBrun wrote an interesting piece about the baseball-like schedule that the NHL has implemented for this season and maybe if it could have a future in the NHL. And then we'll do a deeper dive into the North Division thus far and the East Division as well. But real quick, not even real quick, but as much time as we want on this, but Friday, me and Tom were doing an exercise in, it was only a couple of games, but who are we sure of this early into the season? Who are we sure that, like, this is what they're going to be? And I don't know if my list would be any different than Friday because everyone has lost. The only undefeated teams right now in the league, and we're only three games through the season. I think Toronto's the only team that's played four. Yeah, that's right. Edmonton. No,
Edmonton, Vancouver, and yeah, that's it.
Okay, so a couple teams have played four, but for the most part, you've got teams that have played two or three. Vegas is 3-0. You've got Tampa Bay at 2-0. Florida is 1-0, and then Dallas hasn't played yet. So those are the only teams that haven't lost. Otherwise, everybody's got an L on their board so far. So I think that's maybe why it would be hard for me to put anyone else on this list in terms of, you know, who are we sure of? I am still definitely sure Chicago is terrible.
So. I was going to say, I was like, well, if there's one thing I'm sure of, it's not of who I think is good. Chicago is bad. I mean, three games in, they're already a dash 10 in the goal differential column. Like, I mean, you started the year with Malcolm Subban and Colin Delia as your 1-2. What did you expect? And like, this team already is missing so much up front. They've only scored 5 goals through 3 games. Like, Dominik Kubalik, who was exceptional last year as a rookie, yet to get a point in these 3 games. It just seems like if that top line of DeBrincat and Kane aren't doing anything, that whole team isn't doing anything. So, and I can't say that I expected anything different than what we're seeing anyways. But yeah, it's looking like Chicago's going to have a tough one this year.
I'm not kidding you. I'm looking at Daily Faceoff right now, which I use a lot for fantasy hockey, fantasy players out there. If you need help with like goalies or who's on the top line, Daily Faceoff's got line combinations for every team updated throughout the day. I'm not kidding you. I don't think I've heard of Chicago's number one center. Pius Suter.
Oh, so it's funny. I saw that he was in the top six of their team because I did the same thing with Daily Faceoff. I saw he was in the top six, so I went to my – it's a pretty very deep league. It's a dynasty league. It's got – you know, you stash guys in the minor leagues as well. It's a 20-person minor league. But anyways, I'd never heard of him in my life, and I was like, there's no way that anybody picked him up. Sure enough, someone had already picked him up, and he was stashed on a minor league roster, so I wasn't able to do it. But, that's the only reason why I've ever heard of him was because of the same thing. I saw that he was in Chicago's top six, and I was like, who the heck is this guy? All right, I'll pick him up just to stash him, but I wasn't even able to do that. But I would say, yeah, like Vegas is really the only team that I'm sure is really, really good. Toronto, I think
I think so. I'm pretty confident in Toronto.
Like, yeah, like I am confident. And I think it just depends where we're putting our confidence meter. This is like, who are we sure is going to make the playoffs? Toronto's going to make the playoffs. Montreal, I believe, will make the playoffs too. Montreal's looked really, really good. The one game that they lost against Toronto, they were actually the better team, to be quite honest with you, on opening night. So although they're 2-0-1, they easily could be 3-0 if Carey Price was a little bit better that night, I suppose, and made a couple more saves. He allowed 5 goals, which is very uncharacteristic of him. So Montreal, I would say, I'm pretty sure on is a pretty good bet to have a successful season.
I think I am too. I think you look at their lineup on paper and it's not that sexy, especially down the middle, but I actually really like their center group.
They're so deep though. Like this team is insanely deep. They can roll out 4 lines and you can feel comfortable line matching with any of them. I like what they did going out and getting just a bunch of like 20, 25 goal scorers. They've got them littered all throughout the lineup. right? You got Josh Anderson that went and picked up in an offseason trade. They signed Tyler Toffoli. They really beefed up the back end. Last night, Jake Allen in net, he looked pretty darn good against that potent Edmonton team. So, you know, Montreal, they may not have like a game breaker such as an Austin Matthews or a Jack Eichel, you know, or a Johnny Gaudreau, Elias Pettersson, but they have like a solid group of 9 to 10 guys who can go out there and, you know, possibly put up a 20 to 25 goal season and on an 82 game pace, but, you know, and just go out there and play well. Like, they're just insanely deep and very, very well balanced.
Yeah, right. The only thing you would say they're missing, and this might be the only thing holding them back from being an elite team in the league, which I would not call them probably because of this. I don't think they have I'll use your phrase, a game-breaking player in their top six. I wonder, though, if Nick Suzuki can become that player, because he's showing signs to me that he could. I mean, he's not there yet, but, man, like, even that, the goal he scores in Toronto in the opener, that is such a tight angle that he's got to get that in, and he goes posting in. Like, that was just such an impressive shot. And he, to me, is more of a playmaker. That's what was his reputation was coming into the league. But just an all-around great offensive player, I think, that they could have on their hands with Suzuki.
And it's funny you bring him up, because yesterday on my show, Overdrive, Jeff O'Neill, former NHLer, they're getting into a little bit of a debate about this exact subject, the fact that Montreal doesn't really have game breakers. And, you know, it was more – he said something really interesting. He's like, look, a guy like Nick Suzuki, although he's just his second year in the league, you know, on any given night, he can be better than a guy like, you know, Austin Matthews. Like, Austin Matthews just solidified himself as an elite game-breaking talent. Nick Suzuki is still working his way into that, and on any given night, he can be that guy. So to say that they don't have one, I guess, would be
they kind of take turns. They take turns almost.
Yeah, I think so. And they're just insanely deep and balanced. Like, it's just a solid team. And you think about game breakers. I mean, they do have one. His name is Carey Price. He can definitely steal you some games and win you some games. Shea Weber's not too bad on the back end either.
He could steal a series against the Penguins.
Yeah, he could. He did.
We just saw it a couple months ago. Last thing on Montreal. This was from last weekend, but while we're on them, or late last week, and I'm forgetting the reporter off the top of my head right now. I think it might have been Dave Pagnotta. I'll clarify that before the end of the show. But there was a report out there that Montreal had been in contact with Columbus about Pierre-Luc Dubois, who has requested a trade out of there. Essentially, the Canadiens were willing to part with Jesperi Kotkaniemi, their third overall pick from a couple years ago, but they were not willing to part with Nick Suzuki, and that's who Columbus wanted. And I think good on Montreal for not, you know, just rushing out and be like, oh, Pierre-Luc Dubois, that can help us win right now. It's like, do not trade Suzuki if I'm Montreal in that deal.
No, I don't think so either. I think they look at Suzuki as a long-term piece and a guy who can develop into a superstar in this league. Whereas Dubois, yes, he's a very good player, but is he a superstar? Questionable, right? So I think that they look at it, and Suzuki, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to move him. Kotkaniemi, I think, is somebody would be interesting. He's still so young, plays down the middle. Could easily fill into being a Pierre-Luc Dubois kind of player. So I still don't know if that whole trade is ruled out. And, you know, the longer that Dubois doesn't play up to his standards, the worse, I guess, his trade value becomes. So we'll see. I still kind of think that there's something there between those two.
I agree. I think he gets traded at some point this season. It doesn't have to be Montreal, but I think there's an end game for Dubois in Columbus. But anyways, back to the North Division. Doesn't have to be Montreal, but is there right now? I don't know if I could put anybody above them as the second team in that division. I think I had Edmonton as number two going into the year, but man, they Mikko Koskinen last night. I mean, that is going to be a problem. I think we all knew it was going to be a problem. I was stunned they didn't do more in the offseason to upgrade their goaltender situation. I mean, they already paid Koskinen. That was Peter Chiarelli's going away present, like the day before he got fired, was giving him that big extension. So there's nothing they could do now, but this goes back to the offseason that they really should have upgraded in net, because they're not getting the saves they need.
Well, you look at the Battle of Alberta, and there was a battle going on in the offseason, and that was for Jacob Markstrom, and Calgary ended up winning that one And I think Calgary is elite. Like, Calgary's in the mix of the top three within that North division. Between Toronto, Montreal, Calgary, you know, you could shake it up any which way that ends up winning that division, to be honest with you. But I've really liked what I've seen out of the Flames. It seems like Goudreau, Monahan, Tkachuk, like, they're on their A game. Those three are game breakers. They've got a pretty good defense. And for years, it was just the goaltending position that's evaded them from succeeding. And now they've got it shored up in a guy who I believe is, to be quite honest with you, a top five goalie in the league in Markstrom. He's proven it the past couple of seasons in Vancouver. He was the like, literally that team's MVP, stole so many games for them over the past couple of years. And now he's out in Calgary, and he got a shutout against Vancouver in his first game, or his, well, I guess the second game, but second game, his first game against that team. And then they got a win last night, 5-2. So they're 2-0-1. And realistically, they're another team that could be undefeated. They were leading the Winnipeg Jets, and they ended up losing that one in, I believe, a shootout. But yeah, you know, Calgary, another team who I'm impressed with, that I think is a pretty deep and balanced team that can make a run here in this division.
Do we like, this is the first time we've talked about these teams, because we used to host, this used to be an Eastern Conference focused episode on Tuesdays. And of course, because of the division realignment, we're doing the North and the East, which means we're now going to be having to talk more about Vancouver, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Calgary. Do we like the trade-off? We got those four teams in exchange for Tampa, Florida, Detroit, and Columbus. I think I kind of like it. It's a little refreshing, but I like, especially the Battle of Alberta, and I like watching those Western Canadian teams. Like, when there are games on at 10 o'clock, my attention is normally drawn towards them, in part because all of them really have bright young stars in the league. Edmonton, it's obviously McDavid, Dreisaitl. Vancouver, it's Patterson and Quinn Hughes. Winnipeg, Scheifele and Laine, and Hellebuck if you want it. And then even Calgary's still got Goudreau, Monahan, Tkachuk. Like, they're interesting too. So I actually like the trade-off for us.
I love it. I mean, obviously, I'm up here in Canada, so I've got a little bit of a different point of view, and seeing this entire Canadian division play against each other all year long is going to be so much fun. And you nailed it. Like, the fact that, you know, now instead of having to watch, you know, and no disrespect to a guy like Mantha and Dylan Larkin, but, you know, they're not McDavid and Dreisaitl. They're not Pedersen, Quinn Hughes, Bo Horvat, right? So the fact that we get to watch these superstars play now, you know, 9-10 times this year, is so much fun. And it's really just such a division that's chock full of great talent. Like, even Ottawa, I was saying that they aren't going to be as far behind as the rest of these teams in this division. I wouldn't be shocked if they're not in seventh place when it's all said and done. They look pretty good, like, in those two games against the Maple Leafs. They've only played those two games, so it remains to be seen against other teams. I think they play tonight, if I'm not mistaken. I think they have a game against
hosting the Jets. Yep.
Yeah. So they get the Jets on the second night of a back to back. They're nice and fresh. Haven't played since Saturday. Like, I think this is a good opportunity for Ottawa to try and steal some points here within the division. But yeah, no, I'm having a tons of fun watching these guys play each and every night.
Are we ready for some football, and are we ready for some hockey? There is only one place that has you covered and one place we trust, betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Bills and Chiefs in the AFC Championship game on Sunday. We don't yet know the status of Patrick Mahomes, so you're taking a big risk by trying to decide on that game right now. Chiefs favored by 2.5. It actually opened with the Bills as a favorite, but as it became a little more clear that there's a better chance than not that Mahomes will play on Sunday. Again, that's a guess, but it seems it's trending that way. The line goes back to 2.5 to Kansas City. So if you're one to take the risk and want to see, maybe if it's Chad Henne, if you get the Bills plus 2.5, that's a pretty good job. Whereas if Mahomes plays and you want to go on the Kansas City side, the line could get even stretched by a little bit more. So that's a game to decide on. You've got hockey going on right now. Lines on that. Futures. I'm looking at MVP futures. Jack Eichel plus 3,000 for the Hart. Pretty good. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano here on the Locked On NHL podcast. We referenced at the beginning of the show a piece that Pierre LeBrun did about the baseball-like schedule that we've had so far and that we will have throughout the season. Many two-game series against the opponent, some three, and I think there's a couple cases of four, but very few of those across the league. How have you liked it so far, and is this something you would like to see the league do continuing past this year?
I've liked it, I believe. I mean, it's still early, a little bit too early, to make that decision. But I think it's kind of cool, like seeing, you know, back-to-back nights. You know, for Toronto, they lost to the Senators and left kind of a little bit of a bad taste in your mouth on Friday night. But, you know, you knew, okay, well, they get them again the next night, right? So they came back and they played their asses off and ended up with the victory. And it made you feel a whole lot better about yourself that they didn't, you know, just lose and get dummied by Ottawa on one night and then had to wait 3 weeks to play them again to see, you know, get that litmus test and that barometer of how they're doing against weaker opponents. So I think in that circumstance, when you have an off night, it gives you an opportunity to come back and have a better night the next time you play that team. And instead of having to wait a few weeks, it's now literally like the next night. So In that case, I think I like it.
So when we first talked about this as a format that was being introduced, I think one of the things I said was I kind of like the idea of, and I referenced the Battle of Alberta last year between Edmonton and Calgary with all the stuff with Matthew Tkachuk and Zach Kassian and really all the whole teams going back and forth. I mean, I think you had a goalie fight last year. Maybe it was the year before.
No, it was last year.
It was last year. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, if there's a dirty hit in a game, if there's real tension between the two teams and there's a lot of extracurricular stuff after plays, to have them coming back the next night, that could provide some real fireworks. But what I really didn't think of, and maybe this was by not watching, you know, well, I had the playoffs that just happened, so I guess I would have seen them a couple months before, but maybe little off-season rust. I had forgotten that doesn't really happen almost at all anymore in the NHL. It does happen sometimes. But so it's already happened twice with the Sabres, for instance. In their opener, Eric Staal gets blasted in the head by Nick Dowd. And, you know, they're like Jake McCabe, Ristolainen, they go right after him in the moment. But the next night, like, there's nothing. There's no talk of it even, except a little bit by fans. And there's nothing on the ice that would make you think anything had happened in the game before, despite the fact it's the same team. And then last night, Rasmus Dahlin just gets basically sucker punched in the face for no reason at the end of the game by one of the Flyers forwards. And like Ralph Kruger saying like how upset he is that wasn't a suspension, but I still like, I just saw this. Is not anything going to happen tonight again when the Sabres play the Flyers again? Probably not.
Are you talking about the little dust up with, was it Abe Kubel, whatever the heck Abe his Kubel, name was?
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually funny enough, Elliot Friedman just tweeted out that he was fined $4,633.62.
Gotta love those $4,000 fines to players that are making millions of dollars a year.
Yep.
Okay. So I guess he got something. will it be enough to stop someone from going after him tonight? No one's gonna go after him anyway. I think actually Pierre Maguire, who was driving me crazy on the broadcast last night, he actually did say one thing that I thought was good in that broadcast. And he said, you know, obviously this game isn't the same anymore because 15 years ago, Rob Ray's coming over the bench. if his top young defenseman gets punched in the face for no reason at the end of the game. And now it's just like, yeah, you get a fine and everyone moves on. So I guess that part of the schedule isn't really in existence, you know.
We have some breaking news, Joe.
Okay.
And it's not really, doesn't have to do with the Northeast divisions, but Pierre LeBrun now hearing that Carolina and Nashville game tonight is postponed, COVID situation with the Hurricanes. So it looks like we have our second
postponements for a team.
Yeah, like I mean Dallas kind of their year was pushed back like an entire week. So, I mean, that factored into a few games, but this is kind of the first one outside of that we're seeing. And this is where, you know, as we talk about the schedule, this is where I look at the schedule and I say, if this happens where teams end up missing like a week or so, like I look in the NBA and I see was the Orlando, no, the Washington Wizards have missed like four or five games or something like that due to COVID. If that happens here in the NHL, like this is such a condensed schedule as is, how the heck are they going to be able to make it up? Like that's my only concern with the schedule. Cause you know, yeah, there's, you know, off nights where you go, you know, every other night where you're playing, but
yeah,
for a large majority, it's still back to backs against the same teams. Right. So, you know, for Buffalo, let's just say for sake, you know, they've got a back to back, you know, let's say they end up missing a game because they, you know, Philadelphia ends up with COVID. They miss a couple of games. One of them happens to be against Buffalo and they have to make it up later in a date. Well, what if that date ends up coming? They have to. The only day it works is right in the middle of a series that they have against Boston where they're playing 3 and 4 nights where they're like, okay, we're in Boston this night. We have an off day. Then we have a back-to-back. But they have to schedule that Philly date in that off day. And now all of a sudden you have Buffalo playing 3 nights in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I feel like this might become an issue if
– it might be inevitable. Happening.
That's what I mean, right? And, like, I don't know if the CBA is gonna be okay with – you know, 3 nights in a row. They barely like back-to-backs and, you know, 3 and 4 nights. 3 nights in a row, oof.
I think it might get to the point where they just have to say, you know what, we have to extend the season a little bit, like in terms of the calendar. Because at this point, too, it's also interesting that it's happening within the same division. So that is one way, I guess, to contain outbreaks, is that it doesn't go league-wide because you don't have, you know, you don't have to think about, well, you know, Carolina's been on the ice with Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh's been on the ice with Philly and then Philly's been on the ice with Edmonton. It doesn't spread across through the whole league. It is contained at least within that group of teams. So I think that would be one way to contain the outbreak, at least league wide. But at the same time, then you're going to get these other divisions getting out ahead of the Central Division in terms of games played. We already talked about the beginning, how there's a couple teams that are undefeated in the league, but they haven't played. Dallas has 0 games played. Florida has 1 and Tampa has 2. And now Nashville and Carolina are going to have a game postponed. And then whoever's coming up in their schedule within that, you know, this division could get a couple of games behind. And it's not like baseball. Baseball was very easy in terms of the other sports to make up the games lost when they had their COVID outbreaks at the beginning of the year, because baseball, you can play 2 games in one day.
They shortened it to seven innings, right?
Right.
They were just 2 7 inning games. You're not going to have
anything like
that. Period. You're not going to have a 2-period hockey game.
No,
like, that's not going to happen.
It'd be ridiculous. So, no. And you're right. You don't want to have to play 3 games in a row. So I think if it continues along this path, this rate where, you know, once a week a team has an outbreak somewhere in the league, then I don't think you'll have an option but to postpone the season or to extend the season a little bit in terms of the calendar. But we'll see. I mean, you never know. Baseball, we thought they were never going to get through it, and they ended up, you know, finishing the season roughly around the time they said they were going to. So
yeah, NFL too, right? Like we're now at the conference finals, and we haven't had to push any weeks back. They got all 17 games or all 16 games in for each and every team, although there were some scares. They did end up playing them. They fiddled with the schedule a bit. But, you know, like you did allude to, the NFL and MLB is a little bit different. You know, the NFL, they only played 1 game a week. The MLB, you know, they were able to play multiple games in a day to make up the schedule. The NBA and the NHL are in a whole different hemisphere, in my opinion. And it's going to be interesting how they end up working through this whole pandemic here, because I wouldn't be surprised if at the end of the year, not all teams end up playing the full 56 game slate, and we have to end up going to points percentage to determine the playoff seedings.
Right. So that'll be something to monitor.
RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate, quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com.
Joe DiBiase and Mike DiStefano in the Locked On NHL podcast. Last thing on today's episode, let's go through the East Division just a little bit before we get out of here. So far, Washington is atop with 5 points. Philly and the Islanders are right after that with 4. New Jersey, Boston with 3. And then the Rangers, Sabres, and Penguins all with 2. If I were to pick one team out, something I've noticed in this division so far through a couple of games, I think Pittsburgh might be in trouble. They really only have their 2 lines that do anything, and it's driven by Malkin and Crosby, no surprise. They are very thin in the bottom 6. They are thin even on wingers and those 2 lines. Like, Evan Rodriguez was playing on the first line with Sidney Crosby when Kasperi Kapanen was not able to join the lineup. So that just shows you they're one injury away from being at 4th liners on the top line. So they're thin. I still think they'll be okay if they stay healthy. But they didn't look good against Philly, and they did get their win in against who did they play? Who did they just beat? They beat Washington maybe on Sunday. Yeah, in a shootout, 4-3. Pittsburgh would be the one team so far that jumps out to me as they might be in more trouble than I thought they would have been.
100%. And I did not have them penciled in, I believe, as like a guarantee to make the playoffs. For me, I think I had Washington, Philly, and then the Rangers as like my 3 teams that I think I was pretty comfortable penciling in there. And then that 4 spot was going to be up for grabs between Pittsburgh, Boston, the Islanders, Buffalo, really New Jersey also could, you know, take a stab at it. They got that goaltender, Mackenzie Blackwood, played unbelievably so far this season. So, I mean, if they can get just the slightest bit of offense out of that team, I think even Jersey might be able to do something. But Pittsburgh, certainly there's – look, man, if you're not getting offense from those top guns, you know, Crosby and Malkin, which isn't going to happen too often. Let's be real here. But even if they do, like, they made, I believe, a big mistake rolling with Tristan Jarry as their number one. Tristan Jarry is not a number one starting goalie in this league. Like, I'm sorry. He got off to a really hot start last year, but he ended awfully. Like, awful. He had a terrible ending. I don't remember exactly the stats, but the last like 15 games of the season last year, he had like a 385 goals against and like an 880 save percentage. And this is the guy who they elected to roll with over their 2-time Stanley Cup champion and Matt Murray, who they shipped out for what, a second round pick?
A second like, rounder, yeah.
It was just, I couldn't understand why they decided. I mean, obviously, I think it had to. Basically, it was for cap. They weren't going to be able to afford to keep both of those players. And they elected to go with Jarry because he was going to be cheaper. But, you know, you take a look. This team has allowed 14 goals in 3 games. That's, you know, second next to the Chicago Blackhawks. And the duo of Jarry and DeSmith is not a tandem that I think you can win with. So that is a team that is in a lot of trouble. They've tried just retooling this team on the fly. And I just don't know if this is going to be, you know, if they have enough, if Crosby can put the team on his back enough to really put this team into a solid position going forward.
There's a couple teams with goalie questions in this division. I think you hit on Pittsburgh. There is definitely one of them. Washington, Ilya Samsonov, who they, of course, wanted to take a big leap forward as their starting netminder this year, has struggled out of the gates. Carter Hart had a really bad game against the Sabres. I think he'll probably be fine, but you never want to assume with Flyers goalies, I guess. But he'll probably be fine. He's so talented that I'm sure they'll be okay. And then even in Buffalo, of course, they have their questions. Linus Ullmark missing last night due to to personal reasons. And again, last year was the story. If he misses any time, Carter Hutton is just not a guy you want taking over the reins as starting goalie at all.
Johansson. So, give me Johansson.
He was an AHL All-Star last year. I'm like, oh, young guy with some upside. He might be pretty good. And then he came up and he was just a disaster. So I'm not super confident in him. But you've got other good teams in this. The Islanders, Varlamov, 2 shutouts to start the year. I mean,
yeah, he's looking
good. Sorokin was not great in his NHL debut. 5 goals allowed against the Rangers, but the Islanders, I think, are going to be fine. Those are their only 5 goals they've allowed in 3 games. So, but yeah, a couple of teams, Washington, Pittsburgh, probably the most notable that we'll have to keep an eye on what they are in net going forward. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening to today's episode. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Sneaky Joe Sports. Mike's on Twitter at Mickey_Canuck. And you can follow us on the podcast account at Locked On NHL Pods. This has been the Locked On NHL Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.